Well, I don't know if you do know this. It is Ascension Sunday today. Those of you who come from the Roman Catholic or Anglican background will know some of this. 40 days after Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, which falls on a Thursday, this past Thursday, but we celebrate it on the Sunday. And I'm mentioning this because in our church, we don't normally celebrate Ascension Day. But why is it celebrated at all? I don't know when was the last time, maybe I can ask for a show of hands, when was the last time you heard a sermon on Ascension? I can honestly tell you that I don't remember the last time I preached on Ascension. The Ascension is just what we heard Jackie reading to us, the fact that Jesus ascended. He went up into heaven. That's what it is. Why is it important? We know of the birth of Jesus Christ and we celebrate it with fanfare and everything. We know of the death of Jesus Christ. It's a big deal to us as Christians. We know of his resurrection even. But I put it to you this morning that ascension tends to be an appendage, something that's just thrown in there and we move on. But the Bible does not do that. The scriptures don't do that at all. We have in Luke's gospel, which we just heard, chapter 24, Luke repeats it in Acts, chapter 1. And then the epistles touch on it over and over again. But even before we get to the New Testament, there's sort of an anticipation of the coming Messiah who comes in the clouds of glory, Daniel 7, comes in the clouds of glory, the Son of Man, but also one who will ascend to the right hand of majesty. And this one is the Messiah, Jesus Christ the Lord. His birth was public. It was made known by angels to high-ranking nobility as well as common man, the shepherds. His death was a public humiliation. Everybody saw it. His resurrection, 3 days after his crucifixion, was manifest to his disciples. All of them saw him. And 40 days he was here with them. And then publicly in front of his disciples, he ascended on the Mount of Olives. And I put it to you that as the scriptures have spoken about his ascension, this Jesus will come again in the same way. As he came, he will also go up. He has also gone up, and he will come again. But why is this so important? Why do we need to know this? We know how important the birth of Christ is. We know that it is important because he came to save sinners. We know the crucifixion is important because in the crucifixion, he saves sinners. At the resurrection, he rubber stamps. He confirms that his crucifixion is valid and it is accomplished what it's set to do. But why the ascension? Couldn't he just linger around? Or could he not just rise from the dead and then poof, he's gone again? Why did he have to linger 40 days? Why did he have to sit around 40 days? Let me answer that question just a little bit. Firstly, he appeared to his disciples after he resurrected, right? He appeared to his disciples. In their midst, peace be with you. And showed them his hands and his side and his feet. If he did not linger around for 40 days, if he did not stay with them doing all kinds of things, some of which are not recorded in the scriptures. But we have enough for us to know that in that 40 days, he banished all doubts. Remember Thomas, who was doubting? He banished all of that. In the 40 days that he was here, his mother Mary could have seen him not just as my son who died. We heard he rose again, but he's gone now. She saw him as a resurrected King of Kings, the one who conquered death. When he appeared to them in the 40 days after his resurrection, he taught them. He taught them of things to come. He taught them that the Son of God must go back to where he belongs, to where he was, to the glory which he enjoyed. He taught them all of these things about his departure. He taught them that where he is, they, his disciples, where he is, you and I, who are his disciples, who follow him and who believe in him, where he is, we may be also. All of this happens after the resurrection. Now, he leads them, Luke tells us, he leads them to the Mount of Olives, that very significant mount, a place where he prayed, a place where he met with them often. The Mount of Olives, if you stand on one side, looking down into the Kidron Valley, and on the top there, you will see the beautiful temple. The Temple Mount, right across. So Jesus often went to Mount Olives, the Mount of Olives. And there he takes his disciples. Luke tells us he leads them and he speaks to them. And then, I love this picture. Think of this picture. He raises his hands and begins to bless them. He blesses them as he lifts up his hand. And as he blesses them, he is taken up into the cloud, and the cloud receives him from their sight. In other words, he is just taken high. I love the idea that Luke does not miss this point, that he opens up his arms, he blesses them, and as he is blessing them, he is taken up, as if the blessing continues. As if the blessing continues even where he is. The scripture tells us where he is right now, at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes for us. His prayers and intercessions continue for us. His blessings for us continue. Why is this significant then for you and I? One, he is there to fulfill what he has said. So he is proven to be true and faithful. Jesus Christ is true and faithful. But he says, unless he ascends, he cannot send the advocate, another helper, as he puts him, the Holy Spirit. He ascends and sits at the right hand of the Father so that he, the Son, and the Father can send forth God, the Holy Spirit, who will not just live with us, but will live in us and lead us into all truth, as he has promised his disciples. He promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit, the other advocate, God in us, not just God with us, Emmanuel, God in us, can lead us into all truth. He led the apostles into all truth. Hence, we establish doctrine, church doctrine, Christian teaching. That's what the word doctrine is. Christian teaching. They were led by the Holy Spirit to write the word of God, to pen it, to write it together. In the same way that the prophets of old were led by God to pen all that they have, God the Holy Spirit led the apostles and taught them everything that Jesus had taught them. I love how Luke puts this. As he was teaching them, he opened God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, opened their minds. He opened their minds so that they would understand. And he taught them and they understood. They got it. They got it at last. That's why, you know, when I was thinking about this, Luke tells us in that last verse, and they, after worshiping Jesus as he was being taken up, they bowed down and worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Why would they be joyous? Why are they returning to Jerusalem with great joy? What has happened? I put it to you this morning. What has happened is that their minds have begun to understand all the past 3 years of Jesus' ministry with them. Remember, in the past 3 years, they could not get a lot of what he was saying. They had to ask questions like, please explain to us, you know, you just spoke in parable. Now, explain to us, what was that? And Jesus had to explain. Remember how Jesus had to say to them over and over, you who are slow minds, slow of understanding, you of weak faith, and so forth. Remember in the waters, when he stills the waters, the chaotic, noisy, stormy waters, and he stills them, they look at him and say, who is this? That even the nature listens to him. Who's this? Now, with minds opened, they understand. They get it. They get his promises. They get his predictions. They fully understand. Hence, they go back to Jerusalem. Having worshipped him, going back to Jerusalem, hearts filled with joy. And they go to Jerusalem with instruction. Go to Jerusalem and wait. And wait. They don't go there, wait, okay. They wait with anticipation because they know that the one who has told them to wait will do what he said he will do. He will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we know, comes upon them, and the church is born. The church is born and it multiplies exponentially. It just multiplies. Because they have trusted not just the born King of Kings, not just the crucified Lord of Lords, warrior king who on the cross battled sin and death and came out victorious at the resurrection. Now they worshiped the one who ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God on high. As promised in Psalm 22, I will make your enemies your footstool. You see, in heaven, there's a throne on which the Lamb of God sits, but there's a footstool as well. He sits there as a conqueror, king. My friends, I don't know about you. I am beginning to love the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, because if he ascended, he will surely descend on the clouds of glory to take his own to himself. When he comes down and the trumpet sounds, when every eye will see him, when every knee will bow, every knee, those who believe in him and those who do not believe in him, because right there, they will see Jesus, the Son of Mary, they will see Jesus, the Son of God. I like the whole picture of what's going on Mount of Olives. He stretches out his hands and he blesses them and he ascends in a cloud and the cloud hides him. But immediately from Acts now, you see, Luke has his first volume in chapter, it ends in chapter 24. When he gets to Acts chapter 1, it's as if he says to Theophilus, to whom he writes, if you don't know that by now, you have not been listening to me, because I want us to understand that when Luke writes, he's writing a letter, a two-volume letter to one called Theophilus. So when he ends with the ascension here, he begins in Acts chapter 1. He begins with the ascension. Again, it's as if he's saying, where was I now again? And then he continues. And there, he tells us, he tells Theophilus, telling us, when he was caught up in the cloud, as they were worshiping, as they were looking up, two men stood by and said to them, two angels said to the disciples, men of Galilee, all of them came from Galilee, in the region of Galilee, except for Judas Iscariot. But he was not there, so let's move on. Men of Galilee, this, I love those words. You know, the Bible does not waste words. This Jesus, whom you see going up, he will come back in the same way. Who is this Jesus? This Jesus is Jesus with nail scars. This Jesus ate not so long ago broiled fish with them by the seaside. This Jesus was tangible. Bones and flesh. Yet this Jesus is also glorified because he moves about and enters doors that are locked without having to open them. He appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He appears to them and then, poof, he's gone again. So this Jesus that the angels are talking about to these Galilean disciples, apostles, this Jesus is both fully man, 100% fully man. Yet, he is fully God. 100% both ways. The mystery of Jesus. When we see him one day, when we will be with him where he is, he will not be such an ethereal spirit. Someone that we cannot see or touch. He will be as he was when he ascended. He will be as he was when he ascended. And we shall see him just as he is. And he will come back in the same way. And he will come back as a warrior. He came the first time to save sinners. When he comes back as a king, he will be judge of all. And he will vindicate all who have put their trust in him. Oh, you know, I'm going to stop now because we are going to have communion. That symbol of our salvation. That beautiful symbol of our salvation. But listen to the writer of Hebrews. When he speaks of our Lord, he is not just, if you've ever heard yourself saying these words, the man upstairs, he's my bro, stop. Because the one we worship is, as the writer to the Hebrews says, he is the radiance of the glory of God the Father and the exact imprint of his nature.
the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the power of his word. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much better than all the angels, as he has inherited a much more excellent name. He sat down. Do you remember the scene of the crucifixion? Jesus hangs. For 3 hours, he hangs. In absolute agony, he hangs. And he breathes his last. And he says, before breathing his last, he says, "It is finished. It is finished." Not "I am finished." The work that you have sent me to do, the work of salvation, is now finished. It is done. To show you it is done, he rises from the dead. To show you that his promises are true, he ascends to heaven. He ascends to heaven so that you may be with him one day. Will you trust him? Will you trust the crucified Christ, the risen Lord, the King ascended to the right hand of power on high? Trust him seriously. Seriously. The one we deal with is not a myth. It's not a story for our children at the back there. The one we have to deal with is God, who came down, condescended to be one of us, identified with us. The one we have to deal with is one with God the Father. He is God the Father. Question: will you trust him? Fully lay yourself before him. Lay yourself, surrender to him. Because he has spoken, and whatever he has spoken, it will come to pass. Because he who has spoken, he who has promised, is not a mere man. He is the Son of Man, the Son of God. God made flesh, one of us. Because he ascended, we with him will inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, I love his appearing. I love his coming back. I cannot wait for him to come back. But in the meantime, he has sent us. He has sent us his Holy Spirit, so that while we wait, we don't twiddle our thumbs. Oh, when is he coming? When is he coming? When is he coming? No. He sent us his Holy Spirit so that while we wait for his coming again, we may be vessels. We may be used by him in many ways, both in here, in our fellowship with one another, in the exercise of our gifts, but also out there, where nobody wants to know about this Jesus, when they will find every excuse not to deal with him. Your call and mine is to get out there. Tell them that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again, that he ascended into heaven. And if you do not trust him, today, if you do not trust him, he will come back. You will have to bow the knee. You will have to confess him. He is truly Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We wait. We wait for his coming again. But while we wait, there's a call on your life and there's a call on mine. Not just pastors only, on yours and mine. Not just church leaders out there. No, yours and mine. At home, at work, at play, we are called to be ambassadors filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, he ascended, but he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you love his appearing? I pray that you do. Father in heaven, you are worthy of all our praises. There's nothing in us apart from Christ through whom we worship. He is our King and our Lord. He appeared and revealed God to us. So then, having been our minds opened to you, we worship you, Father. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you. Draw near to those who are far from you, Lord God. I pray that you will use us to that end. In Jesus' name, amen.